There is the Roman Empire at its zenith, roughly 100 or so AD, thereabouts. The Mediterranean was effectively a backyard pool for the Romans. Although Rome conquered quite a bit, did Rome ever conquer the whole earth? This one is Rome A, and there's another Rome coming, Rome B. By the time it's done, it will control how much? The whole earth, and trample it and break it to pieces. Verse 24. The 10 horns are 10 kings whom shall arise from this kingdom. From what kingdom? Rome A. There's 10 nations coming. They haven't happened yet. And another shall rise after them. These are the 10 toes of Daniel chapter 2. These are the 10 nations we saw in Revelation 17. He shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue three kings. Verse 25. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High. Those are tribulation saints that live during the time of the Great Tribulation. And he shall intend to change times and the law. He's going to change the calendars. Well, what's up with changing the calendars? Every culture has a calendar. Like in America, we've got President's Day. Is that pretty important to us? Yeah, that's Lincoln and Washington. We've got Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Is that important? The calendar represents the high points of the culture. What the Antichrist is going to do, he's going to erase every other religion and national high point, and it's going to be the calendar of the Antichrist. And every month is going to have him in a fireman's outfit. I'm just seeing if you're still paying attention. Then the saints shall be given into his hand. For look at this, a time, one, times two, so that's three, and a half a time. What is that? 3.5 years, or 1,260 days. Now back to Revelation chapter 13. Look up here one more time. Here again is the map of the Roman Empire at its zenith. That eventually is going to split into two legs. The Eastern Roman Empire, with its capital at Constantinople, what we know today as Istanbul, between Turkey and, of course, the Balkan Peninsula. And then the Western Roman Empire that we're a bit more familiar with, that will give us the Holy Roman Catholic Church, etc., and much of our Western civilization or European influence. Remember when Israel becomes a nation in 1948? Did you know that something else got started in 1948? Post-World War II, Europe was a mess. It was a wreck. It's financially was ravaged. Many of the countries of Western Europe realized that as individual nations, they need help. There was no way that they were going to compete economically with steel and coal and many of the resources if they were so fiercely nationalistic. It was that independent nationalistic spirit that opened the door, really, for Hitler to roll through Europe. So in 1948, the same year that Israel began, something else got started in Europe. It was a coal and steel agreement to lower tariffs and borders, if you will, between the European nations. 1951, the Treaty of Paris signed something called the European Economic Community. It's a pretty good idea. A supranational entity. What do you mean? As individual nations, we're only so potent. But if we put everybody together under one flag, so to speak, do you understand our economic power and prowess? So starting in 1951 and a series of others, 2007, the Treaty of Lisbon is signed. Do you remember that Ireland was holding out on ratifying the Lisbon Treaty? There were demonstrations in the street, and so there was one referendum fail, another referendum fail, and finally joined in to be the 27th member to ratify the Treaty of Lisbon. What is that? It is a constitution of Europe that is higher than all of the individual democracies and republics of all the 27 European nations. It is a United States of Europe, ratified in 07 and implemented in 09, Europe is operating under a supranational parliament based in Brussels, Belgium. They have a national anthem, Ode to Joy. They have non-elected parliament members, and there's a president residing over the whole thing. The Bible says that Rome will be an extensive, amazing, consuming, grinding up nation after nation beast. It's not going to totally go away. It's going to have a reincarnation in the latter days. Daniel sees at the very end time a beast that one day is going to be instrumental in controlling everything. Hit the go button. Here is the European Union. Notice the member nations and some of the nations that are candidate nations today. Does anybody in the room see a semblance or a similarity? How is this working out for them politically and economically? It is gangbusters. Another thing that they did away with in 04 was, let's get rid of all of the currencies. And why is that important? You look at our bills, our denominations, who are on the front side of most of our bills? The presidents. We get a warm feeling of one of our founding fathers. When you see George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and Andrew Jackson, there's national pride that comes with it, as it should. One of the descriptions of the Antichrist is he's going to take all of those national individual implements of pride, and he's going to take them all away. 18 nations of the 28 currently use the euro. The franc is gone. The Deutschmark is gone. It's the euro. And you look at the euros and you see these buildings. These are buildings that do not exist. We are taking away all the national uniqueness, and we are kind of smoothing them over in favor of a supranational entity, just like the Bible says the Antichrist will do. What about the 10 nations? Hit the go button. The Bible says that in the very end times, the Antichrist is going to preside over a 10-region global governance. You and I say, that'll never happen. There's a precious sister even in this fellowship right now. She remembers her father telling her before 1948, she remembers sitting, reading the Bible with her dad. And her dad said, more or less, honey, I don't know how it's going to happen, but one day Israel is going to have its own nation back on planet Earth. Puritan writers, both in the First Great Awakening and the Second Great Awakening, and many of them talk about, we don't know how, we don't know exactly what's going to happen, but in the very last days, Israel must be a nation back on the planet. And often they were laughed to scorn by the higher seminaries. Hey, is there a nation on the planet now? The Bible says that in the very end times, the Antichrist is going to preside over a 10-region global governance. Well, that'll never happen. Did you follow me as I took you through the formation of the European Union? Do you understand that now they have a parliament, these extravagant buildings that they meet, and right now they are formulating a military side to project their presence? Is that happening anywhere else? The other nations of the world have been taking note. Hit the go button. 1961 started the African Union. Look up at the top left corner. 1961, they have a charter now. There are 54 nations that adhere to this. Did you know that they have a capital? They have a parliament. They have a constitution. And they're centered in Addis Ababa. moving to the right, the Union of South American Nations. In 2004, they have a supranational presiding parliament that is headquartered in Quito, Ecuador. It's called UNASAR. Keep going. Association of Southeast Asian Nation, or ASEAN, 1967, but they've adopted their charter in 2008. They have a capital. They have a parliament. They have a national anthem. Myanmar, Burma. South Asian Free Trade Association, SAFTA, started in 1993. Charter signed by all seven member nations in 2004. Their capital, Islamabad, Pakistan. Association of Southeast Asian Nations. They have a capital in Jakarta, Indonesia. They have signed their charter 2008. Pacific Island Forum, bottom right. 16 nations, started in 1971. A little looser association, but it's growing more and more centralized. Capital, Suva, Fiji. Eurasian Economic Community, of course, this would include Russia. That started in 1996. Only six nations have signed on there. Where might you believe that the capital of this group would be? Moscow, and you would be correct. There is a parliamentary structure in place. The Greater Arab Free Trade Association, this is a miracle. If you know anything about the Arabs, more specifically the Islamics, you have your Sunnis and your Shiites to agree on anything is absolutely astounding. Started in 1998, their capital in Cairo, Egypt, they signed their charter in 2005. And then, of course, the North American Free Trade Association, NAFTA. It's lost a little steam, but some of you who remember the Clinton administration, that's when it really got rolling. Canada, the United States, and Mexico. There was even talk of a NAFTA superhighway right through the entire continent. It's lost a lot of steam under George W. Bush, the current President Obama. Centers are in Washington, Ottawa, Canada, and Mexico City, the European Union. If you're counting, by the way, next slide, that's 10 regions. I don't know if that's going to be the 10 regions, but if you didn't know, the world has been working on 10 regions with their own parliament, their own constitutions, already putting together the groundwork, the mechanics of governing the world from 10 regions on the planet. Somebody should say, oh my. Back to Revelation. Let's read it one more time. Revelation chapter 13. Revelation 13. Let's read it one more time. Chapter 13, verse 1. Now that we have all this background, then I stood on the sand of the sea. This is either the physical Mediterranean, or if it's metaphoric, it's all the God-rejecting non-Jewish nations of the world. And I saw a great beast rising out of the sea. He had seven heads and 10 horns. This is a composite of all the old countries, nations, that tried to wipe out Israel. And who is behind all of these? The devil himself. On his horn were 10 crowns. And those 10 crowns are the 10 regions that haven't happened yet, but they're coming. And on his head, a blasphemous name, verse 2. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet was like the feet of a bear. And his mouth was like the mouth of a lion. Hey, Daniel chapter 7. Now some of you have noticed, you're like, wait a minute. Leopard, bear, lion. Didn't Daniel see lion, bear, leopard? Another little subtlety about how amazing your Bible is. When Daniel saw them, it was lion, bear, leopard, because he's looking what? Future. John is looking what, everybody? Past. That's his perspective. And the dragon gave him his power, the Antichrist, and by inference, all of the other previous seven nations that have made it tough on Israel. Verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded. Zechariah chapter 11, verse 17. There is an assassination attempt against the Antichrist. A sword comes against his right side. His eye is blinded, says Zechariah 11, verse 17, and his right arm is withered. Again, the Bible dovetails and intersects. Why? Because all of these prophets wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Your Bible is history written in advance. Verse 3 again. I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. Imagine if John F. Kennedy, after we saw the Zapruder film so many times, imagine a head wound of that severity, and suddenly a man as charismatic as a John Kennedy emerging from the hospital saying, I'm alive now. Would that be an effective propaganda tool of the enemy? Verse 4. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like this beast? Who is able to make war with him? That's the idea that the Antichrist is literally unstoppable. Verse 5. He was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for, guess how long, everybody? 42 months. What is it? That's the last half of the Great Tribulation. Verse 6, then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme God's name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. You know who that is? That's you. You got raptured into heaven, and the devil is not only mad at God, he is also mad at who? You, who have overcome sin by giving your heart to Jesus Christ. And it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Circle that. That's the Greek word nikeo. Remember when Jesus listened to Peter say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God? Jesus said, well done, Peter. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven. And the gates of hell will not what? Prevail against my church. Same word. Wait a minute. So the Bible contradicts itself. The church, the devil will never prevail ultimately against. This is not the church. These are tribulation saints. And authority was given to him over how many tribes, you guys? Every tribe. How many tongues? How many nations? The whole world. Just like Daniel 7 said, verse 8. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear. Okay, Harvest, time to tune in, okay? And you watching us by video, and somebody gave you this DVD and said, watch this coconut, check him out. And you don't know anything about anything, that's okay. Please listen to this. Don't take the mark. If you take the mark of the beast, there's going to come a day you'll become so dependent on whatever economic system that he comes up with. Can you imagine your life without your ATM card? With your phone, whatever application it is. Whatever hardware allows you to electronically conduct your business. There's going to come a time when they're going to take your ATM, maybe it's a chip, I don't know what it is, they're going to take that away. And for you to get the one that really works, you're going to have to sign allegiance and bow down and worship the Antichrist himself. If you don't do that, you don't get this device, this mark. If you miss the rapture, it means you weren't a Christian. But it's never too late. You can still give your heart and life to Jesus. But if you find yourself in the Great Tribulation and they come to you with a mark, in order for you to buy or sell or partake in this economic system, you must have this, whatever the this is. If you don't swear allegiance to this man, this Antichrist, then off with your head. Please choose Jesus. Choose off with your head, because the Bible says very clearly, if anybody takes the mark, it's too late. Don't take the mark. He who kills with a sword, don't worry. He's going to get his. He will be killed by the sword. Here is patience and the faith of the saints. I want to read to you a definition I came across. Certain. Merriam-Webster says certain is fixed, settled, incapable of failing, incapable of being avoided. Nothing in this life that is certain. Not relationships, not bank accounts, not economies. You get into the mathematical and scientific realm, there's a sense of certainty there. When it comes to people and situations and people that you stood at the altar with and said, I do, until you didn't. There is nothing certain save one thing. A God who loves you. And he left you a love letter, the Bible. We looked at kingdoms that were prophesied, details of what kings were going to do what, who was going to take over for them. Did you get a little bit of the goosebumps at all when you saw the 10 regions of planet Earth focusing themselves in stark relief? Maybe we've been sleeping and not paying attention. Doesn't matter. They're coming into existence. God's prophecy is coming true, whether you believe it or not. Every other belief system doesn't have Bible prophecy. If there is a nation of Israel on the planet, and there is, that means that everything else we've looked at today will happen. Where will you be? Where will you be if God calls you today, perhaps, in an automobile accident? Who knows? Or what if tomorrow or the next day or this fall, this Feast of Trumpets, we hear the trump of God? And the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air and forever be with him. Loved one, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to miss that trumpet call, and you are lined up to endure the 7 years of this great tribulation. And the Bible says that the Antichrist, he's going to be performing supernatural stuff. And you're going to be highly inclined to buy his claims. Don't take the mark. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to. How do you do that? You just say simply, Lord Jesus, I get it. The cross was your substitutionary innocent death for me. And now I receive that free gift of salvation. I give you my heart and my life. Lord Jesus, please, I need certainty in my life. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. See, that was me today. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else today? Now for the rest of us, Lord, help us to live our lives as if all this stuff is true. Because it is. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.